One of the common questions that people ask when they are investing either in real estate or other business ventures is, what are the warning signs for when a transaction may violate the halachas of ribus? So I'd like to give just a general background of some of the basic principles to give some sort of clarification for when a shaila needs to be asked. We've mentioned in the past, specifically in episode 2, that although it is forbidden for a Jewish person to lend money to another Jewish person and charge interest, it is permitted to invest with another Jewish person and for the investor to collect a return. The main determining factor for when a transaction is considered a loan versus an investment is who is mekabel what's known as achrayas, which means that which party stands to suffer the loss in the event that there's a loss to the business or to the funds will determine the status of the transaction. For example, in a typical loan, once the lender advances the funds to the borrower, from that point on, the borrower is responsible to repay the lender regardless of what actually transpires with the money. It is irrelevant if the borrower proceeds to invest the money in a profitable venture or if the money gets lost. Either way, the borrower is responsible to repay the lender. On the contrary, with an investment, if there is a loss to the investment funds or what was purchased with the investment funds, the investor is the one who will suffer that loss. And therefore, depending on the agreement between the two parties of who is liable to suffer the losses will determine the status of the transaction. When the investor stands to suffer the loss, it is permitted for the investor to receive any sort of return. For example, it is very common that an investor will receive what's known as a preferred return, which means, and this is very relevant in real estate transactions, there will generally be a managing partner known as a syndicator or a general partner whose job is to find the deal, raise the funds, and oversee the project, and he will generally take a percentage of the eventual profits. However, the investors will generally take a preferred return, which means that until the investors receive a certain percent return, sometimes a 6 or 8 or 10% return, the syndicator will not receive any profits. Only after the investor receives his 8% return will the parties begin their profit sharing, and only at that point the syndicator will begin to receive his share in the profits. Now, as long as the syndicator is not responsible to reimburse the investors in the event that the business or property suffers a loss, since the transaction would be considered an investment, it would be permitted for the investors to receive such a return. There's a tshuva in Sheva Levi, Chelek Hei, Tshuva Tzadi Zayin, and there's a Sefer Chelek Smiyam ben Hilchos Ribus and Sim Kufay and Zayin Sif Gimel, who both speak this out clearly, that again, when the managing partner does not have any responsibility in the event of a loss, it is permitted for the investors to receive any sort of return. Where there begins to be a problem is when the investor is receiving some sort of protection regarding his investment funds. For example, if the managing partner is guaranteeing an investment and he's committing that even in the event that there's a loss, he will reimburse the investor his principal funds, this would consider the transaction to be a loan. This is a concept known as karuv l'schar v'rachuk l'hafsid. It is found in the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, in that where an investor is in the position of karuv l'schar, which means he will share in profits, v'rachuk l'hafsid, and he will not stand to lose as he will get reimbursed in the event of a loss, this would violate ribus d'rabbanan. Furthermore, there's a concept of tzein barzel and Mishnah Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Amud Beis, according to Tesis, which is referring to a transaction which an investor is guaranteed to receive a return of his principal funds plus a fixed return regardless of what transpires. And here, according to virtually all opinions, it would be a violation of ribus ketzutza. Now, where the shaila begins is when an investor has some level of protection, such as if he has a liquidation preference, or sometimes referred to as a preferred equity investment, and where an investor is entitled to collect his principal funds before any of the other partners collect theirs. Which means that if the business suffers a loss, the losses will not be divided proportionally between the partners. Rather, the preferred partner will first collect his principal funds, and only after that point will the other partners be entitled to return of theirs. And this is something we discussed in episode 14, and that there seems to be a shaila in the Paiskim of how we consider such an investment. Do we say that since the investor has a preference regarding his principal funds, it is considered that the other parties are accepting chrayas on this money, which would deem the transaction to be a loan, thus prohibiting the investor from receiving any return on these funds? Or it is essentially an equity investment, and it would not be considered a loan. And depending on the exact agreement of the parties regarding his protection and regarding how he's collecting his return, are all factors which are important in determining the halacha, and therefore if someone finds himself in such a scenario, a shaila should be asked. So to summarize, as long as the managing partner has limited liability, which means that he's not liable for anything other than negligence or fraud, the transaction is considered to be an investment and is permitted for the investor to receive any sort of return, even a preferred return, if the investment is guaranteed and the managing partner is accepting to reimburse the investing partner in the event of a loss. This would consider the transaction to be a loan, and it would violate RBIS. And again, we're sort of a hybrid, such as a preferred equity investment, where the investor is receiving some protection regarding his principal funds. This would seemingly be subject to a machlekes paiskim, and a shaila should be asked. Just to mention some other shailas, there is a concept known as convertible debt, which means a transaction in which the funds are initially advanced as a loan, it will have a maturity date, generally there will be interest accruing, and after a certain period of time or certain trigger events, the lender will have the option to convert the outstanding debt into equity shares of the company. And here, even if that was the lender's intention, as he was always eyeing the equity shares, if the transaction was initially structured as a loan, as the lender would have protection for that time period, and there's interest accruing, or he will be receiving the equity shares at a discount, this may very well be considered ribis on a loan. Another important point is that even if the initial contributions are all compliant with Hilchos Ribis, many companies have operating agreements which dictate what the partner's responsibilities will be in the event that the business is in need of more funds. And many times the agreement will stipulate that if there's ever a capital call and the partners are responsible to contribute additional capital, if one of the parties is unable to do so, another partner has the option or the ability to lend the funds on his behalf and collect interest. Or other times, a managing partner or essentially any partner can lend additional funds to the entity and collect a return. And therefore, the parties must be careful that even if the initial contributions do not violate RBIS, they have to review the operating agreement and make sure that it doesn't call for any future transactions that may be considered an interest loan. Finally, although it is permitted for a Jewish person to borrow an interest loan from a not-Jewish lender, there is a concept, and this is something we discussed in episode 10, that it is forbidden for another Jewish person to act as a guarantor on an interest loan between a non-Jewish lender and a Jewish borrower. There are different halachas regarding this, and depending on the exact nature of his responsibilities to the lender, as well as the borrower's responsibilities to reimburse the guaranteeing partner, are all factors that will determine the halacha. And this is especially relevant when a syndicator or one of the partners is signing on the loan, or when the lender is requesting joint and several liability, which means that all the partners will be responsible for their entire loan. And therefore, prior to guaranteeing or signing on a loan on behalf of other Jewish partners, a shaila should definitely be asked.